welcome to everyone. I don't think I can see any brand new faces, but welcome to all who've been here forever and all who've been here just a little while. You're all very welcome today. I just wanted to say a massive thank you to those of you who've already brought stuff for Ukraine. It's just been incredible watching these massive bags of stuff appear all morning. So thank you so much. And we're still collecting next week. We are still connecting next week, aren't we? Yes. Alex is going to... Oh, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, lovely. I was just excited. Okay, so we're going to start this morning. I am borrowing from a lady called Debbie McDaniel, who has written my current devotional that I'm doing. And she's talking about Jesus. She says, "He's the burden lifter, my friends. I've seen it again and again through life. We seriously can't pull off those big loads on our own. They're hard to let go of sometimes. But his gentle yet strong reminder to our hearts this morning whispers these words. Let me carry it for you. I've got this burden and nothing is too big for me to handle. So you can let go and keep moving on. I'm paving your way, leading you forward out of stuck places, covering you in my care. I'm filling you with peace, with greater joy, no matter what the pressures of the week have been. You can know full well that I understand your struggle and I am here." Jesus says in Matthew, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father God, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for those words. And Lord, we bring those things that we are holding tight to. Lord, we want to give them to you, to trust you with them. The things which we think are too small for you to bother with and the things that we think are too big for anyone to handle. Lord, help us to place them at your feet this morning. In your mighty name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to invite Carol up.
Special welcome to Amir this morning, our guest from Galead, who's going to be speaking to us shortly and updating us on the work that they're doing down there in Darnall. So thanks again for the worship. Always a good start. And David will be speaking to us shortly. Just a few notices for this coming week. Then tomorrow, Monday, the ladies are meeting down here at church at 1:30, and mums and tots will be in the schoolroom at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Next Sunday is the AGM. I seem to have been saying this for ages, don't I? But it's arrived, nearly. Anyway, next week. Next Sunday, after this morning service at 12 o'clock, in church, so please do attend if it's at all possible. All the reports have been in, the information's all been sorted, and it will be sent out tomorrow by email and by letter. So please, if you've not received anything by Tuesday at the latest, do get in touch. Just gives everyone a chance to read everything before we have the meeting next week. I mentioned last week any about volunteers who will be willing to do some reading as part of the morning service. If anyone's able to do that, can you please see David or Rob, and they'll explain a bit more about it. Last week, Alex and Thomas spoke to us about an appeal that they're doing for Ukraine. And would you like to just come up and update us, sweetheart, and so we know exactly what's happening?
Yes, I just wanted to echo what Livy said at the start of the service. It's amazing to see the amount of bags and the amount of things that are in that room back there. It's surprising, not because I didn't think that we wouldn't have this much stuff, but because it's just amazing that there is we've got such a wonderful community that will bring in all this stuff. Just wanted to give a reminder that we're going to bring it and send it off to Ukraine next week, so any donations need to be in by next Sunday. I think we're looking for tinned foods, health products, sanitary products, medication, like tablets, just that sort of stuff, nothing too much. But that, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you and just remind you that we're going to close it off next week and we're going to look for a place to send it off.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Alex. That's really good. We are donating all the offering this morning that we received. That's all going to BMS. They will be sending some donations out, obviously. So that's what where the offering will be going when we take it up in a few minutes. We're now in the season of Lent, of course. I think we all know that. Aston All Saints Church are hosting a Lent lunch. And that's happening on Wednesday the 30th of March at 12 o'clock. So everyone's welcome to that as well. So as I say every week, if you need to know anything, the website, Facebook page, always really good information on there. And the email will be going out tomorrow. So please keep your eye on that for any updates that we might need. So we're going to take the offering now. So would you like to do it, Emily? Thomas, would you like to take the offering? Or no? Alex, would you like to do it?
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Let's just pray. Father God, I lift up to you these gifts of money, donated in love and thanks to you for all that you do for us, but also in love and compassion for the people of Ukraine who are suffering dreadfully at this time. We're hearing of wonderful acts of kindness, and we thank you. There are so many who care enough to want to help those in desperate need. Please bless those who are doing such amazing work, both individually and as organisations, to bring some light into the darkness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So if the children would like to leave, please. And David's going to just come up and speak for a minute.
Well, just before we get into God's word this morning, it's a great privilege to have, as Carol said, Emma with us this morning from Gilead House. Emma, I'd like to invite you up to come and share with us. As we know, we've supported Gilead House for a number of years, and I think Emma and I were speaking this morning, it's been about 5-6 years plus since you were last here.
Yes.
But lots going on, so share with us, please, with what's happening.
Okay, yes. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here, as David said, that it's been long since I visited last, but it's always good to be here. Thank you very much for your prayers and your support. Before I say something about Gilead House, I'd like to kind of give a little introduction to myself. I come from Pakistan, born and bred there, and my parents both were Christians. We lived in a very small village which was actually established by overseas missionaries, and it's a Christian village, and everybody went to church. My parents took me to church, but at the age of 21, I realized going to church, following your parents, is not enough. You have to actually give your life to Christ. Something happened, which I'm not going into, that actually got me reading the Bible carefully and praying and then giving my life to Jesus. And after that, I went away and worked with different parachurch organizations, missionary organizations in Pakistan called OM, Operation Mobilization, and Campus Crusade for Christ. So because that was my heart, working among other faith and making and building relationships. And in 2001, I came to London in a Bible college where I studied theology for 2 years. And while at the college, I met someone from Sheffield who were doing house church. And it was also, they were trying to reach out the Asian community, bridging the gaps, building relationships and friendships. And they thought I fitted in that role well. So they invited me. I came over and looked at the possibility. And from 2003, I'm in Sheffield, trying to build up relationships with Asian communities. And it was not before 2014 when I became involved with Galit House. So what is Galit House? Galit House, actually, the word Galit comes from the Bible, Genesis 31, where Jacob and his uncle Laban fell out with each other. And they erected a pile of stones and said, we can come and talk here and not cross to each other, cross over each other. That's how Galit House is. We are like a place of meeting where everybody can come, no matter where they come from, what their background is, what their faith is, what their color is. They can come to Galit House and meet us, talk to us, and use our services. We're trying to break the barriers between the communities there. And as you know, it's in East Sheffield. If you can put next slide on, that's where Galit House is. East Sheffield, just off Staniforth Road, if you know Sheffield. The community there is, majority are from Asia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and some other Eastern European have moved in as well, quite a lot. And we're trying to build relationships with the community, and we offer quite a few services. My role with Galit House is a activities coordinator, men's worker. So I oversee all the activities that are happening at Galit House, and also establish relationships and friendships with Asian communities. And kind of break the barriers and introduce Asians to our English volunteers and get the relationship going. And I'll tell you my day-to-day work in a bit. But that's what we are about. Thank you very much for your support, in fact. And I think Alan Turner, if you know, has been involved in the past. Mm-hmm. It goes long back. I wasn't there by that time. But appreciate your partnership with us. Please continue to pray for us. So what goes on at Galit House? We have a threefold ministry. We have a youth ministry, we have men's ministry, and we have women's ministry. First of all, youth ministry. So we run a kids club, which is from age 5 to 11, and that is boys and girls. So as you see, a lot of activities happening. We run that club every week, where we do craft games, indoor games, and stories from the Bible. All the craft and the activities we do, even the games, are designed around the Bible story, the Bible theme we might have. And it's amazing how much these young children pick up from the Bible. And not only pick up, they will give us a feedback, reflect on what is being said. And then very lovely thing is that they would write letters to say thank you to our volunteers. And they really, really enjoy our kids club. Every week, we start 5:30, but the children are there from 4 o'clock, knocking. When you open, very keen to come in. Literally, the clubs are full. We have only a small terrace house, but we will have like 30 children in kids club. So we might have to, during the pandemic, we had to split them into two groups. So one group had to wait outside while the other group would do activities and then swap over. During the pandemic, we actually delivered the craft in their homes every week. And then they did the craft and posted it through our letterbox. It's been lovely to see that how much they appreciate it. Even in the pandemic, our volunteers went extra mile and cared for these children and show the love of Christ. And it's amazing to see how much these children appreciate. And simultaneously with Kids Club, we have Girls Club. You might have seen older girls' photos. They also meet upstairs, which is a big, medium hall. And they do their wonderful things. It might be nail varnishing, it might be baking, it might be a lot of other things to do with beauty or dance or whatever. And then again, in there, we do Bible story as well. And it's amazing to see the majority of the girls are Roma or Slovakian. And it's amazing to know how much they're thankful and how much they're picking up. And also the feedback. It's a beautiful feedback. And we know that it will impact in their lives. So please pray for our youth clubs. We also wanting to do older boys club. Boys club. So we have kids club, which is boys and girls from up to age 11. And girls are more above that. But boys, there are a lot of boys who want to come. We used to have boys club, but it has actually, we had to stop because there was, we haven't got many volunteers. But they are wanting to start, so pray that we will be able to start that as well. I'll move on actually. Now we have a men's ministry. These are men from, some from Iran, some from Bangladesh and Iraq. We run men's English twice a week. So it used to be just casual conversation clubs where we used Bible as a text to teach English. But now we actually do proper ESOL training. Jonathan is from America, who's an English teacher. And we do not only teaching English in a classroom, we also do extra activities like taking them into the park for a walk, or taking them for a meal and things like that. And really, really wanting to build relationships with these people so we can share and witness Jesus through those activities. Same way, ladies' English, a lot of Bengali, Pakistani ladies come to that, and our volunteers pray with them sometime, and also use Bible stories to teach English. This is going fantastic. Really, really good relationships are being built. And the Lord is at work in those activities. Sewing session happens on Thursdays as well, where Asian ladies bring their fabric and their designs, and they do stitching, sewing, and not only build relationship with our volunteers, but with each other. And as I say, that all those activities are there to serve the Lord, build relationships. Our volunteers come from all over Sheffield and beyond, and they are from different churches, have long time commitment and doing a wonderful job. And for the prayer, I would like you to pray for us, our men's English, there are some prayer points over there, that real relationship will be built, and some regularities among Asian men to come on English, and for our youth clubs. I'll stop here, and really, really grateful for you to supporting us in prayer. Lastly, we are celebrating our 21st birthday in April, and the invitations are given to David. You're very welcome to come along and pray for us as well. And it might be an excuse to visit Galit House one day. And there's some information on the back. If you would like to receive regular updates, please sign in the sign sheet. And once again, thank you so much.
Pray for you all now and for the work at Galit House. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this great opportunity and this partnership that we have with AIMA and all the staff and volunteers at Galit House. Lord, we pray that you will bless it mightily. We thank you that as we're reminded in scripture of the house with many rooms, and it seems here at Galeed House there is many rooms where there is many activities that go on, Lord, and all people are welcome. We thank you that people of all nations, all tribes, all languages are able to come and be welcome and to be known as they are. But Lord, we pray deeper into that, and we pray that they will be known in you, that they would come to know you. So Father God, I pray that you will bless the work of the men's and the women's English classes, of the youth work that goes on, Lord, but just the outreach and the hand of friendship that they have to all and everyone. Father God, we thank you. Would you continue to bless them, bring them peace, strengthen them, Lord, and just help them to journey along those as we seek the least, the last, and the lost, especially in their part of the community that they find themselves. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Amma.
Without wasting too much time, I just wanted to say that Galeed House was open right after the 9/11 as a gesture for Christians that even though there is hostility between the communities, it's a love gesture that we care for the community. And since then, we have retained that. People who come, everybody in the area knows we are Christians, but there's a trust, and that is a beautiful thing. So carry on praying for us that remains the same.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you. As we continue in our service, we come to look at what God is saying to us today. As you know, we're in our Lent series. We're in the second week of it. We started last week. We see Jesus in his last moments on earth. We saw how he was finally, if you like, revealed and understood by his disciples, where they said that we know you are the Son of God. And Jesus, in this wonderful prayer, starts to say that, Father, they don't need to know or ask any more questions because they know who he is. And Jesus is glorified through this. And we looked at a bit of that last week. And then we saw, as I say, this beautiful prayer that Jesus goes into and prays for his disciples, prays for the glorification, prays for the sanctification, for the protection of them, for what they're going to go and continue to do. And last week said there was a sneak peek of this week of where Jesus also prays for others. And we remember that his mission cannot fail because it is in God's hands. And Jesus is repeating that through his prayer. Turn to your Bibles, page 903, chapter 17 of John. Annie's going to come to us and read this part of the scripture. Come on down, Annie. So John chapter 17, and we're going from verses 20 to the end, 26.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this eternal life...
Sorry, from verse 20.
Sorry.
Verse 20 to 26. Start again, it's fine.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.
Bless you. Thank you, Annie. Jesus turns and says, my prayer for them, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message. This is what Jesus has been showing. This is what Jesus has been wanting to show. He's finally been revealed. And so he's praying for these people, these disciples that are going to go out and witness and carry on this word and this revelation of Jesus Christ. And here we have this prayer that incorporates different times. If you look back at verse 5 of what we saw from last week, Jesus refers to a time before the world even was created. He says, Abba, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world began. So we're talking about the time before even the world was created, about this glory, about the time where he was. That's why John starts his message in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if you flip back to Genesis, right at the beginning, you see there the story of creation. This is where John exclaims that nothing was created without him, because in Genesis we see where God says, let us make mankind in our image. He doesn't turn around and say, I will make, as in singular on his own, but he says, let us. Because you've got that Trinitarian relationship and that unity there of Father, Son and Holy Spirit from even before the world was created. And so we digress, but we thank God Jesus came, because the depth of this love is so magnificent. It's so enriching in hearing. I think sometimes we completely miss it. Jesus Christ here is going to the cross to die for each and every one of us. He's done that way before we was even thought of. But he's done that. That there will be people that will know him. He prays that everyone, whether we believe or not, he prays that they will come to know him, and that there will be this unity together, and that we will testify of his love for a lost world, for the least, the last and the lost. This is what he's calling us to do. This is what he's praying for us. And then in another time dimension, if you like, Jesus looks forward to the lost souls now saved by grace and fulfilled when we meet him in glory. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. You know the song, and I'm not just using that song to fit in here, I'm not just picking them off, but this is truth to power. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is who he is. This is what he's come to do for each and every one that will believe in his name and believe in him. Are you born of the Spirit? Are you washed in his blood? Who here believes in Jesus? Not many. Wow. Who believes in Jesus? This is who he's on about. This is who he is praying for you and for me and for all of us that know and truly believe in him. He's doing it all this time ago. I pray for those who will believe in me. This unity, to know that we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. To come and to see and to come and to hear. This is the unity that Jesus wants for each and every one. And here, this cycle of faith is leading to unity, which leads to others coming into faith. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so the cycle continues until Jesus will return again. And that cycle cannot stop. It must keep going. Paul, the Apostle Paul, describes the church as a body of Christ made up of different parts, but of all with an important job to do. You may recall our series in Ephesus, particularly in chapter 4, Paul talks about how we must grow up in every way to be like Christ, who is the head of that body. And he talks about that body in great depth. Under his control, all the different parts of the body fit together. Every sinew, every joint, everything is held together by Christ. And with it is provided the skills and the gifts necessary to be part of that body. So when each separate part works as it should, the whole body grows together. And it's that growing together which is important. Because if we don't grow, it smacks of death and it remains stagnant. This love and this unity that Jesus is speaking of, his prayer here, it tells of a great deal about the meaning of church unity. It tells about the means of church unity and the motive for church unity. Three M's, if you like, if we're having a three point and it's all beginning with M, just the way it is. But we look at the meaning of church unity, of what Jesus is praying about here. And that meaning is the oneness of the church is to be a mirror of the oneness of the Trinity. It's to be a mirror. Often we say about in pastoral situations that we hold Scripture up as a mirror. And to look and see that reflecting within, to bring us back to the truth that is power, the truth that is Jesus Christ, and how we may journey with that. Because he says that that all of them may be one. Just as you are in me and I am in you. This is Jesus talking to Father God about us. That they may be one as we are one. There is no stronger union than the Trinitarian relationship of Father, Son and Spirit. And we're part of that. Those that believe, those that choose to believe and work in part of that in their relationships, in our relationships, are part of that. And that cannot be broken. That cannot be broken. And we're called to be one as God is one. Unity expressed in community. Unity lived out in diversity. What does that look like? We've heard a snapshot of that this morning from Amir of Gilead House. Unity in community and unity in diversity. In the differences that we find ourselves. And thank God we're all different. What the heck would it be like if we were all the same? I certainly wouldn't want to be the same as me, and neither would you. But we're all different, but we're called to be as one together, as Christ is one in us, and we in him. The world should see Swallowness Baptist Church as the kind of unity we find in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to the outside world, you'll also know these words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about this body is not made up of one part but of many. Because if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. If it were not for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would it not be for that reason to cease to be part of the body? In fact, he says, and he goes on, that God arranged all the parts in the body, each and every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But we're not all one part. We're all different parts made up into that body, with Christ at the head of that body, all functioning in one way or another, all on a different journey in one way or another. But that unity in the Holy Trinity is the unity of relationships, the unity of love and cooperation. As I said, unity lived out in community and unity lived out in diversity, because we are all one in Jesus Christ. And he is praying for that here in this passage before he goes to his death. And so the means then, the oneness for which Christ prays will only grow as we each abide in Christ and grow up in Christ. Again, in verse 21, it says, may they be one, even as we are one. May they also be in us, I in them and you in me. A reminder that our unity comes from Christ and our participation in him. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit living in each of us that makes us church together, not this building, as we keep saying. We are the body of Christ that has lived throughout thousands of years, made together in that unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oneness of the body of Christ, supernatural, spiritual, not a human origin. And again, referring to the body, I guess you can imagine it like a wheel, where God is at the center, at the hub of that wheel. And we as individuals and believers are like the spokes. We're all on a journey. We're all at different places. Without that hub, that wheel does not exist to move, because the spokes will fall apart. It's got nothing holding it together. That's why you have the hub of the wheel. That's the basic concept of it. That's its momentum, that God at the hub of that, us on the spokes and different journeys. The further out and away we are, the more difficult it may be. But the closer that we come to that hub, the closer not only do we come to God, but the closer we come to other fellow Christians as well. Looking at the unity of being together as the body. We grow nearer to each other as we grow nearer to God. We cannot claim to know God if we don't care about other people. Because Jesus expects us and commands us to do things. The greatest commandment that comes through this and from this is to love one another, as he says, as I first loved you. He's revealing that in his prayer. He's reminding us of that. Jesus, in verse 22, continues, I have given them the glory. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they may be as one as we are one, I in them and you in me. This unity is repeated. And you may think, well, it's a bit repetitive, but it needs to be repetitive so that we are reminded of the unity and the bond that brings us together. One as God is one. Because this is what Jesus is praying for each and every one of us. It should be at the top of our priorities, this unity and this love for one another. We need to come to the point where we recognise and truly believe that we need to share together, to learn from each other. I'm not saying be in each other's pockets and houses all the time, but as we come and as we fellowship, the true meaning of fellowshipping together, of growing and of being immersed in Scripture, of learning from God and learning from each other, of how then we may go out in whatever ways God is calling us to go, but to go and to do and to be as Christ wants us to be. And we share not division within the body, but that we all work together and share together and have an equal concern for one another. And so then we see the motive for church unity. The oneness of the church is to be our witness to the world. Verse 21 again, where he's praying, Jesus says, so that the world may believe you have sent me. He said that earlier in chapter 17 with the disciples. He reveals to Father God in his prayer and as he's saying in that conversation, they believe. And in that I'm glorified. I've no need to ask any more questions. I've no need to do any more miracles for them because they know exactly who I am. Is that the same for us today? I asked earlier who believes in Christ, and pretty much everyone put their hands up. I know sometimes we don't like being asked stuff and participating in, but here is the point. Are we in that unity, not only with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but with each other? Does the world know when they see us that there's something different? You've heard this for decades, no doubt. When you're talking with someone, when you're journeying with someone, you don't have to share faith 24/7. Don't feel as a burden that way. But when you are with someone and talking, 9 times out of 10, they will come that point when they say, there's something different about you. What is it? And we say that there's that opportunity that opens up to share. Because the difference that they're seeing is the unity and relationship that you have in Christ Jesus. And the difference is there of whether you share or not. And continue to journey with them. Whatever part of the wheel or journey we find ourselves on. these opportunities to show, to be a witness to the world. Jesus continues and says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is what Jesus is praying. This is what he's saying. And this is where he then gives the disciples the new commandment, which has been passed on for millennia. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. We don't see it in heated arguments and fights. We don't see it in division. We see it in unity. We see it in respect. We see it in love for one another. Why? Because Christ first loved us. And we find him here praying with Father God. Not only for his disciples, as we saw last week, but for each and every one of us here now today. We have a glorious gospel of grace to declare. The good news that God offers his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. This Jesus Christ to all who choose to receive by faith is for each and every one. And maybe those of you that are listening at home or maybe watching back, that this is not just for us as we gather here, but for everyone, everywhere, wherever they are. God's purpose is that the church should be his visual aid, if you like, to the world of difference. And that difference is his love and forgiveness that he brings to each and every one. No matter what they've done. And I know people can get het up and hung up on that. I did for many years myself. But when you know that the true power of his love is bursting into your life, then you can do nothing but let go. And let God. Sometimes people will ask, why does church unity matter? Sometimes folks stop caring about the church being united and allow it to drift and see splits because it seems like too much hassle with not enough benefits. But the problem is, we may not feel that we need to be united for our own sake. I'm not talking about us here because I think we are quite well united and love and respect one another. Certainly hope we do. But when we see it on a global scale, when I was talking a few weeks ago about the divisions that we find and it's often that it's fellow Christians that will come and attack. But yet it's vital that we have and care for the unity for God's sake. Because unity within church is vital for the sake of not only his word, but for those that will receive it. The world might see and believe and know that we are his disciples. Once quoted that the Swiss theologian Emil Brunner, he once said that church exists by missions, just as fire exists by burning. Where there is no mission, there is no church, and where there is neither church nor mission, there is no faith. And sadly, some churches operate like this. Churches and pastors and priests, whatever we want to call them, ordained, will deny Jesus Christ. And they will teach that. So how can we be a difference to the world out there as Christ is praying for us? Well, quite simply, by holding to that prayer. The church should run like the herald with its message. It's not a snail that carries its little house on its back and is so well off that it sticks its feelers out now and then and thinks and claims publicly that we're doing a great job. But that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we have that God-given opportunity, as Christ has served and has sent us to go and to be and to serve. The church lives by its commission as herald. The church, if you like, as Jesus is crying, must ask itself whether it's serving this commission or whether it's serving its own purpose. I believe we're seeing a change. I believe we're seeing a difference. Yes, COVID has come and turned our world upside down. But here's a grand opportunity to be picked back up, to be strengthened by the Spirit, and to go and serve and do. And in that, we exist to preach the gospel. Our unity will be seen out in our community and amongst our friends and amongst our family. The oneness of Christ right at the centre of our witness to the world. So we remind ourselves of how Christ prayed, not only for the disciples, but he prays also for us. This beautiful, wonderful message that he doesn't just ask for these only, as he says at the beginning of verse 20, where he's talking about the disciples, because he's just prayed for them. But he says, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you and I are one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we use your very words that you spoke to Abba Father, where you say, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that they may all be one. Father, just as you and I are one, that may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Because, Jesus, it is all about you. It is the very fact that you came to this earth to show the way, but also to wipe out the sins of the world by their dying upon that cross. But Lord, we are reminded that that is not the end. And we will be celebrating in the few weeks to come the risen Lord Jesus, the resurrection, the power of God that brought you back to life. That death was not defeated, that all was not in vain. But Lord, as you spoke, even before you created the world, and even at this point where you speak and you're praying with Father God, you pray for us also. Lord, we thank you that we are able to be in such a beautiful relationship with you. May that also permeate throughout each of us. May, Lord, we love one another as you first loved us. And in this, the world will know that you are in us as we are in you. Father God, strengthen us, I pray, for the days, weeks, months ahead. Help us, we pray. Whatever part of the journey we find ourselves on, may we come together nearer to that hub, nearer to you, Father God, to be strengthened, to be revitalized, to be reshaped, and to be called wherever it is you're calling us to be. May it be by your will. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Lord, as we go out into this week, help us to go one step closer to giving you our souls, our lives, and our all, as we journey to be more like you. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Go in peace. God bless.